Hey, Bills fans, welcome into the Bills Wire podcast. I am joined by Nick Veronica. Nick was and still is working for a little bit with the Buffalo News freelancing. Wanted to get Nick on just because he had a lot of really good takes, a lot of great articles in the past. I personally enjoyed reading a bunch of Nick's work over at the News and still do occasionally with BN Blitz. And wanted to get his take on the Bills season thus far, Josh Allen's progress, and just really wanted to welcome him to the program and catch up with Nick.
Hey, man. Hey, Jeremy, appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. So I've been asking some guests this question in the past of just how surprised are you about this season, and a lot of folks are not surprised by the Bills' record thus far, but is there any surprising things on the team this year that have caught you by surprise? And I guess maybe for me, I'll start off. It's LeSean McCoy for me and just his lack of ability to get going at all this year. And obviously now he's hurt. But I think for me, I really expected the team to rely on the run and have a decent running game. And that just never got going. What has it been for you?
Yeah, the running game has been a surprise. You would have thought LeSean McCoy would be a bell cow like he always has been, and he's going, you know, I've saw even in the second round of some fantasy drafts. So his performance, and you would think with a rookie quarterback too, they would really been using him a lot, and that has been surprising. I would say even a bigger surprise for me would be just how well the defense has played, especially after they lost a starting cornerback the way that they did. So I think I tweeted something the other day with Sean McDermott as a head coach, like the jury's kind of still out, but as a defensive mind, like I've been very impressed with that.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of fans were upset when Jim Schwartz, you know, left town, and you know, you had Rex come in and kind of destroy the defense, and he was a defensive guy. But then I think Sean McDermott has done a nice job of quickly turning that unit around, for sure. I think Lorenzo Alexander's had a monster year at his age. Tremaine Edmonds in the middle, he this week is given a lot more leadership responsibilities with Kyle Williams allowing him to take over the meetings, defensive meetings. What do you see from the rookie and just maybe a couple players on that side of the ball that have maybe caught your eye more than others?
Yeah, well, can we talk about that article first? Made me sad reading it. Like, that really felt like Kyle was like just passing the guy. Like, I'm like, you know, you figure Kyle's probably going to retire after this year anyway. But that was like, man, like he's getting them ready. Like, was that your take?
Yeah, it was my read on the situation. It is kind of like, it was sad in a way, right? Because it is a passing of a torch and symbolic like that. And my kind of feeling about that was sad because Kyle has played so well and could probably play another year, maybe if, you know, the terms were right and if the Bills wanted him back and he wanted to still play. But I think he's still been pretty productive for them. And to kind of see that, it's kind of almost like, I don't know a great analogy for it, it's almost kind of like a father like passing the torch to his son for something, or you know, your grandfather giving you like, you know, something else to kind of take over the family ritual. And from that respect, I think it was definitely sad for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I read that, I was like, man, it got real for me right there, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, on defense, I've been, like, nobody's been blowing me away, but I've been just impressed. Everyone seems to be having a positive stride this year. So Matt Milano, I thought, was having a really good season until he got injured. Yeah. Shaq Lawson finally looked like he had some productive times in him. Mm-hmm. The Bills, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, they have to make the choice on his fifth-year option this offseason. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting case for him because I don't know how well Sean McDermott thinks Shaq Lawson fits into his defense. So that I would almost imagine, just on talent alone and the fact that those players are hard to find, you would think about keeping him around. But I thought the same thing about Sammy Watkins, and that did not happen. So I've also been impressed how well, I mean, we knew that the Bills had a good safety tandem in Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, and you know, I guess you could say you were worried that maybe they would just be a flash in the pan, a one-year thing, and that has not been the case at all. They've been just as solid, or almost as solid, I guess, in my opinion. And then somebody else, I'm just blown away, Lorenzo Alexander, that dude, like, get that guy a contract. I feel like he wants to keep playing again. And, I mean, not to if Kyle wants to play, he's probably welcome back too. But Lorenzo Alexander, I feel like, definitely wants to play, and he's just ageless out there. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah. Just looking at Shaq Lawson, I think he's got one more year left, and then it's the fifth-year option. I think.
Right, but you have to make the decision this offseason, I think.
Right, yeah, the decision does come this offseason, which will loom large because, you know, I think he's making, you know, not a ton of money, but it is, you know, it is significant in the term of role that he's playing, which is just that rotational defensive end position. So we'll see if they decide to do it, because it wasn't a McBean, for lack of a better term, their guy. It was a Rex Ryan draft pick. So
right,
we'll see what they think of him. I want to see, Nick, I think, if anyone can emerge here in the last couple of weeks to start opposite of Trey White and see if someone can step up there, to see if there is anything. We saw that with Levi Wallace, and I think he's a little bit banged up. So I'd like to see if someone could step up in that role. But more than likely, they're going to have to go outside the organization, I think, to find more cornerbacks and to kind of bolster the depth at that position next year.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know that next year's second starting corner is on the roster right now. So if one of these guys shows up and he can, you know, have some good performance, like, that would be a good depth position maybe. But I don't think you're going to be relying on Levi Wallace as a starter going into next year. So for me, that's definitely a position to address either in the draft or free agency.
And then just jumping over to the offensive side of the ball, where do we start? I mean, we kind of just talked about LeSean a little bit. I guess we'll have a little time here on Allen, and it's kind of why I wanted you on here too, and kind of get your take.
This is a record, longest Bills podcast without talking about Josh Allen.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted, you know, your feelings before the team drafted him. Like, where were you that night when they took him? Were you rooting for the team maybe to go in a different direction at that time? And then how has he progressed or not progressed well in your eyes? Just, you know, what is your take on his overall journey so far with the team?
All right, let's go. So pre-draft, I think my take would be that the teams scout these guys like crazy. They watch their games. They have access to people in their lives. They talk to the players. They bring them in. The teams have extremely high amount of knowledge about these guys. And mm-hmm. everyone in the media has a lot less info than some people like to think they do, is my opinion on that. So having prefaced that,
it's also true.
Yeah, I would have thought going into the draft, or I did think, Josh Allen was the fourth best quarterback in the draft class, just based on what we knew before the draft. So I had Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield were like pretty similar number one for me, and then I thought Rosen would have been third, and I had Allen fourth, just in my own head, and then Lamar. Mm-hmm. I was not really sure what to do with Lamar because I liked him in college, but it seemed like all of the, you know, the pro side people you listen to, they were very convinced that he's not going to be able to, you know, do it. So he was just kind of like a wild card in my mind. I was not sure what to think about him. But having said that, you know, I was kind of unsold on Allen and his ability to be consistently make consistent good throws from the pocket, I guess. So he's got the huge arm, he's got the big plays, but it's kind of like the regular plays you were worried about. And you definitely, I feel like you have seen a little bit of that, and that is going to be something to work on going forward, is that he's, I mean, you can tell he needs some work on just, you know, short, intermediate kind of stuff. But overall, he's been... And I feel weird saying this because his numbers are not going to reflect this, but I feel like just watching, he's been better than I had expected. So, and you're going to look at the totals and say, well, he's only doing, you know, X yards per game or whatever. But just from what you see, how the type of throws he's willing to make, and obviously the things his body can do are incredible. But I've been somewhat impressed with him this year.
Yeah. I think, you know, I was kind of a fan of his before he came out, and I was really happy that the Bills did take him just because of his athleticism and his arm. He did surpass all my expectations in terms of his running ability, and I knew he had a little bit of that, but not 95 yard plus three straight games for this team. But I think for me, I've been impressed with some of the pocket throws that he's made, and other times he's made some poor decisions or poor inaccurate throws that have you scratching your head. And I don't know if I want to attribute a lot of that to all on him or the lack of weapons around him, including the offensive line, which last week was atrocious in trying to protect him, and he took a lot of shots last week, and some of that was his own doing too. But I'm wondering where, like, Brian Daboll goes from here, Nick, because they're calling run plays for him, and I kind of wish they would kind of go a little bit more West Coast, like quick, you know, look to half the side of the field, make the reads easy for him, and see if he can kind of work his way down the field a little bit more. And that's what I'm going to look for these last few games down the stretch, especially with a guy like Matt Stafford coming in, who's kind of similar with a big arm, not maybe not as mobile, but maybe similar kind of measurables as Josh Allen, and that's what I'm going to look for here in these next few games. And I think, like, some of those third down throws he had last week, one was in the end zone, you know, dropping back and throwing a strike to Robert Foster. Like, some of those plays are great. Zay Jones was hit right in the chest and he dropped that, but he is making some good plays. But I think for me, it's just consistency over the course of throughout a game, and then week to week, and then next year, I just think that this offense is going to be completely changed. There's going to be so many new faces lining up next to him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I guess let's start with the running. So I've been you knew Allen was a good athlete, but like I think everyone's been pretty blown away with what he's done rushing. And I think if you would have told anybody that, I think he needs 91 rushing yards in the last three games to break Tyrod Taylor's season record for rushing yards by a quarterback. Like, that is nothing anyone expected. Mm-hmm. But the way he's running is obviously a little bit concerning, I think. It feels like in my head he's a little bit too soon to give up on the play sometimes. I saw a stat from PFF this week that of his 490 rushing yards, 89 have been on designed runs and 401 were on scrambles. So when he's back there, and he's obviously the offensive line's not real good, and I get that, I would like him to try to stay with the play a little bit longer. You can't really argue with the results, because if everyone's dropping the coverage and they know he's got this huge arm and they need to cover 30 yards down the field, then he's going to have room in front of him. That's great. That's a positive play. But he obviously can't take the hits that he's been taking. I know Sean McDermott even mentioned he's been a little concerned with that. So that is, I mean, it's positive that teams need to respect him as a runner, and teams are going to spend time preparing for that. And if they have to, you know, keep a spy on him, that could open something up in the passing game. I really don't know how much blame to give him versus the lack of weapons around him, because the offense is not a ton of firepower for him. Yeah. So he seems to really like Robert Foster, which is good. Zay Jones is coming along, and after that, especially with McCoy having a down season, it's like, what else, what is he doing on? Like, he's got, what else is he throwing to?
Yeah, no tight ends really to speak of.
Right. So the Bills, I think Charles Clay would cost $9 million next season, and if they cut him, they can get 4.5 of that off their books. So that is a move that I think could be coming this offseason. But continuing with that, you asked about Brian Daboll. I don't even know how, you know, critical to be of him this year. Like, he really has almost nothing to work with. Like, I'm not holding that against him. And like, even if you had great ideas, why would you, you know, not to say he'd waste them, but why would you waste them on a team who can't make the plays anyway, isn't going to the playoffs? Like, if you had these ideas, wouldn't you want to save them for when you might actually need them? So I'm not super critical on him specifically for the lack of offense this year. And they've been trying different stuff. They called Philly special last week. Like, when was the last time the Bills did anything remotely fun like that?
Yeah, that's true. I thought he was going to catch that ball too, which would have been pretty.
Well, he had him. And Zay Jones didn't throw it soon enough, but he had him.
Right, he had him earlier in the route for sure. What do you make of Allen being a leader? Because that's been a lot of the talk this week too, which is, you know, you've been in those press conferences, Nick, and you've getting a lot of lip service and cliches from coaches. Do you think that this leadership talk that McDermott is saying is just to kind of bolster the locker room and kind of get their confidence behind Josh? Do you think it's just maybe it is true and it's just overstated? Because, you know, he is a rookie. Like, I don't know how much of a leader he can be this soon, but I guess good if that's the case. I just don't. I'm just kind of skeptical, I guess, is all of how much he could be a leader this with only, you know, 8 starts under his belt.
Yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of a cop out here. I've not been in the locker room as much this year as I was the past 2 seasons. So I met Josh after the draft, and I haven't been there since then. So I'm not totally up on how he's acting in the locker room. I did see Sean's McDermott's comments either this week or last week, you know, being so praiseworthy, and that kind of just felt a little forced to me. I don't know if I was just reading that wrong, but
yeah,
it's great that people think he is being a leader. Like, they're going to need him to be, like, they're tied to him, you know, for better or for worse. So if they're doing all that they can to push him into the role, it's almost like either he is being a leader, or it's kind of like, you know, a coach in high school makes the problem kid the captain to, like, try to straighten him out. So if they're, like, pushing him into the role, like, even if he's not, and they're like, yeah, but he is, and maybe he gets the hint and, like, sort of takes it onto himself. I have no idea, but...
Well, right, like what is he going to say? He's not being a good leader?
Right.
That's the opposite, so that's not going to happen either from a head coach when you're tied to him like they are.
Right. But, you know, in the huddle type of stuff, like, he seems like he's you know, in people's ear when they show sideline shots, and he's telling them, you know, I want this route run. This, I mean, I don't know. There's a million different things that count as leadership, and most of it we won't see. So I wish I had a better answer for you on that.
No, that's cool. Yeah, I was just curious because I didn't, you know, I wasn't in the locker room either all that much before or really during this season. But, you know, just kind of hearing those comments from afar, I'm kind of with you where it seems a little forced. But, you know, like we kind of both said, like, what is he going to say? Like,
right,
that he's not a good leader. So, his running though has been pretty phenomenal. He has shown, I think, really good velocity on a lot of his throws that have been accurate. I would like to see him work on his touch a little bit. I think, like, some of the screen passes, some of the shorter intermediate routes, if he had a little bit more touch on the ball, I think maybe that'll just come with time, and hopefully speed of the game and learning that will come. Watching these games, you know, they don't mean a whole lot. It's not like the Bills are in a playoff hunt or, you know, jockeying for position here to make the playoffs or position themselves for a better seed or anything close to that. So where do you look for these games if you're a Bills fan at all? Do you kind of look at these games and they don't really carry over to next season, or are you really trying to see if they can take anything from it?
I mean, I think the final result is a lot less important than the offense looking good. So Josh Allen looking like a capable passer who can make his reads, make on-time throws, and just feel good about the offense going into 2019 is a lot more important than if they win 2 games or if they win 3 or whatever how they finish. So in April, or whenever the draft is, you're probably going to be saying, you know, wish they were a little bit higher. So if they win out, if they lose out, like, I'm not super worried about that right now. They are, you know, in contention for, like, a top 5 pick, depending on how the rest of the season goes,
yep,
which is interesting in its own way. But I would have said when they were looking for a quarterback, like, you saw in last year's draft, like, how much of a difference, you know, 1 or 2 spots makes, which is maybe extremely simple and still understated at the same time because, you know, crazy things happen on the draft, and then there's fewer quarterbacks coming out this year. But I don't know. I'm not, you know, I'm usually a guy who's like, when you're out of it, like, it's really irrational to try to keep winning. Like, the draft is the best way to help you. But honestly, I feel like seeing productive NFL competent play from your quarterback is much more important than draft spot right now. So I saw somebody, one of my friends, I think, tweeted, like, you know, Josh Allen having a decent game and then losing right at the end, like, almost like they did last week. They're like, yeah, that was almost like the perfect result. And I thought about it for a little bit. I'm like, do I agree with that? I'm like, Huh, I don't actually know how, like, it was an interesting thought. I don't know if I totally agree with it, but I'm not super worried about wins and losses at this point.
Yeah, I think I thought about that too because it still leaves a bad taste in your mouth losing, especially the way they did, right? Kind of like losing the lead like that and the defense letting up. It would have been nice to pull that off, but I think definitely it's all about number 17 and how he looks the rest of the way. Nick, is there anything like at the top of your list if you're Brandon Bean heading into the draft or heading into free agency, like what would you focus on? Are you like a position, or I don't know if you have a player in mind that this team could absolutely use next year?
If I was in charge, I would want to get Josh Allen some help. Like, he's your guy. Like, the Bills in 2014, Doug Whaley was really thought EJ Manuel was the guy, and he traded it all the way up to get Sammy Watkins, like, to help his quarterback. And that was a terrible trade because it gave up too much value, but you can't fault him for, like, trying to get his quarterback a guy. I mean, and they could have stayed, and it would have worked out differently, but that's a little bit beside the point I'm making, is that he's got to, like, I don't think Zay Jones is having, a nice year. I don't think he's a number one NFL receiver. So I think if I don't, the free agency class, I want to say I looked at it a couple weeks ago, was not great. I could be wrong on that.
So just get him weapons. I mean, you would
Oh.
prioritize weapons over,
Right.
guys up front
I would,
or O linemen.
well, I mean, offense as a whole, I would be prioritizing over defense at this point, but you do need a quarterback and probably a D lineman, but really, at least one, maybe even two or three offensive linemen, and then just a receiver who can work with Josh. And like, I just feel bad for, like, sometimes, because I don't even know if, like, if he's pulling the ball down and running, and I'm like, well, I wish he would have stuck with the play, but I don't even know that people are open half the time. So,
It's a frustrating way to like look
yeah,
at this
like you
game,
would,
right?
right, you would love your quarterback to feel like anytime you watch the Patriots over the last, decade or two, Tom Brady just so on time with everything, and like that's sort of what you hope to see flashes of, and just, things being hit in the time they're supposed to be hit, and people, but
It just seems
it,
like a lot
yeah,
of
it doesn't,
improvisation right now.
right, it doesn't feel like, A, the Bills have anyone to do that, and B, if they did, like, I haven't seen
We haven't seen
enough,
it yet to judge it.
right, so hopefully you get a guy. Like, I know Dallas went out and got Amari Cooper, and when they did, they were not really in playoff contention, but a little bit, you were almost like, is this going to help them really find out if Dak is their guy or not? Because, he doesn't have anybody. And on one hand, it was almost to help them, like, make the decision, like, is he good enough to do this? So for somebody with Josh, like, if they keep going a couple of years and they don't have any weapons for him, like, it's almost like, how can you really judge this guy when he has no NFL talent around him?
Yeah, I think worst case scenario for Bills fans is that they continue to draft and bring in defensive players, and they just kind of patchwork the receiver position with, no offense to like guys like Jeremy Curley and, veterans like that to bring in. I think if they kind of continue that philosophy and, want to be a run first team and build up front, which you're going to need to do anyway, but if they don't get him pass catchers, especially at the tight end position as well. I think this guy, I'm going to be pretty upset because then we're still at the same spot we're at now with, well, our guy's open and can we really judge him? And I think the Amari Cooper example over in Dallas is perfect for this. And I think we just want to see as quickly as we can if Allen is going to be the guy that sticks around for a while, because right now it's, if you say this, then it's that, and it's just very difficult to really make a determination, especially in his rookie season. And we're all impatient, right? We all
Oh
want the
yeah.
answer,
Well,
so.
it's a little bit of being impatient and a little bit of that's the NFL. And if you go, so many years without a winning team, like, that's how people lose their jobs.
Yeah, you don't have much time.
Right.
So. All right, Nick. Well, this was really fun. Continued success down there in the New York City area, and we'll keep following you on Twitter. And where can people check out all your work?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Nick Veronica, just my name. And you guys can subscribe to the Buffalo News has the BN Blitz newsletter that comes out every day in your email at 5 a.m.
Awesome.
So go there, sign up. It's free, totally free. And I do that during the week, and we have Jonah Bronstein. We'll do that on the weekend. So just wake up with the Bills news in your inbox.
Cool. Well, thank you for doing this, and maybe we'll catch up in the off season when hopefully Josh Allen gets some more weapons.
Hey, Jeremy, thanks so much for having me. Tell Nick Wotan I said hey.
I will. Thank you so much, man.